Hello, Packers fans. Welcome into the Green 19 podcast from JS Online of PackersNews.com. I'm Cassidy Hill, joined as always by Tom Silverstein and Ryan Wood here at Lambeau Field. Guys, what we were just discussing is the last warm day in Green Bay. Soak it up today. It is going to be cold tomorrow. Just in time to welcome in the new safety, Jonathan Abram from Las Vegas. He got here just in time for the cold.
I think Spoon is breaking more news right now. Always got he's got the reporter pose going on. Always on that phone. What source are you talking to?
You never know.
He's looking at wind gusts to prove me wrong.
Yeah.
Today was one of the windiest days at practice we've had in a long time, and Spoon was like, it wasn't even
to the windiest day? No.
Since in the past, close. Since I've been here, it was pretty dang windy.
I'm just shocked that it's 70 dang degrees today. What is this, November 10th? Sign of the times or what?
Yeah. There's storms coming in today, too, and it's going to drop after that.
Yeah, it's about time. Jeez, we've had a good fall.
I know.
We really have.
We've stretched it as long as we could. Like we said, cold enough, gets cold just in time to welcome in somebody from the desert. Let's talk about the new safety, Jonathan Abram, for a minute before we get into Sunday's matchup against the Cowboys. He was picked up off waivers after the Raiders cut him. He is a former first-round pick, 2019. Keyshawn Nixon may have been the most excited guy in the building. That's his best friend from when they were in Vegas together with the Raiders. Spoon, I know you did the story on him this week when the Packers picked him up. One, it looks from the Packers side of view like, hey, look at this. We got a former first-round safety. Between that and Darnell Savage, they'll have the two first-round safeties from 2019. Mm-hmm. Are they in a – but is that something to really brag about?
No. I mean, this is a let's see what we can get out of him type of a pickup. I mean, the Raiders thought so little of him that they cut him. You know, they didn't this past off season execute the fifth year option for him. He can't cover. He's not a very good cover safety. He can help him in the box and he'll be a really good special teams player, but I don't think he's like brought in to be the savior. I think it's a guy, hey, what can you lose? Bring another guy in. You just lost a corner who's going to be out for a while in Eric Stokes, and you need to add somebody. So I think it was worth a look-see.
Last week, Joe Barry said in response to your question that Darnell Savage could be a great nickel corner, but they didn't have someone they felt comfortable putting there in his spot at safety. Could this be the change that could this facilitate that change?
Well, if it were me, I'd still rather have Rasul Douglas back there as the other safety. I think you could probably get away with Abram being a good early down safety, you know, put him in the box, help with their run defense. Their run defense is pretty lousy, and they're going to need it this weekend. But I wouldn't count on him being, you know, real great in the middle of the field.
I don't know if the window's closed for Rasul Douglas to be safety at this point. Because if they did that, I'm just thinking, if they did that, you've got Keyshawn Nixon or Darnell Savage maybe for the slot, but who takes the other perimeter corner spot?
Yeah, well, maybe Keyshawn Nixon could do it. I mean, he can play outside. I guess, yeah, it's – I don't know what they're going to do, but I think they'll probably stay with what they have. Maybe they'll have a nickel package where Abram's in there, but I really, you know, I don't think you want to put too much pressure on him in pass coverage, especially with all the, you know, different coverages these guys run.
You know, the thing I was surprised about, and I don't want to sound all pessimistic because it's November 10th and it's 70 degrees. Let's be optimistic, right? But you know, I saw him become available. I'm thinking, boy, if this team was still in contention, that'd be an interesting move. That'd be, because of the flexibility it gives you in the secondary. But 3-6, what's the point? That was my thought. What's the point? I get they're not mathematically eliminated, but this team is just so far removed from a discarded former first-round safety to fixing things. In pure X's and O's, the flexibility that it might give them is a good thing. If you think Darnell Savage is an incredible slot corner, you don't have anyone to play him there, well, maybe now you do. But I don't want to be downer here. I'm sorry. But it's just, I don't know.
I kind of look at it in the opposite way, like, what's it going to hurt?
You that's know, true.
You might as well add anybody. You know, Rasul Douglas was on the scrap heap. Devondre Campbell was on the scrap heap. Maybe this is a guy who can come in. At the very least, he's going to help him on special teams. He's a beast when it comes to tackling and being physical, and he's very smart. He can adapt to whatever they do. So at the very least, I think he could add some punch in their special teams.
Did you look up to see if he can play receiver when you hear your story? Can he like go both ways, dual threat, both sides of the line of scrimmage?
That's not really in his repertoire. He's like 5'10", too. So no, he's 6'4".
I was about to say, he's a little bit, yeah, he's a little bigger than that. Because we did see him at practice today, and he is a good size. He's you look at him and you think safety. You know, he's got the size you want. You mentioned you both.
But, you know, that's not their problem. The safety, you know, picking this guy up is not their problem. Their problem is still offense. And how are they going to come up with offense?
Right.
That was my point. Can he play receiver?
This is like a footnote to their week. You know, it's like, okay.
Cool, new safety.
See what happens.
Before we get to the offensive side of it, though, just last thing. You both mentioned the flexibility he might give you. We've seen this be a pretty steady safety unit, Amos, Savage. Not really any rotation there at safety unless there's been an injury. Could you possibly see some rotation there on Sunday now that you do have Abram?
Well, I think the big question is whether or not he plays this week. I'm trying to remember. Did Rasul Douglas miss a game?
Yes.
Yeah. So
he played like just a little bit, played special teams. I think it was against Chicago, and then didn't he
play the Chicago game, Arizona? The Chicago game was when he didn't start the Chicago game. Remember? Someone got hurt like after the first series, but was that the first game after he got claimed?
Yeah, I believe it was.
Okay, so
possibly. But anyway, your point is right.
He played Washington last year too.
Okay,
because that was after Chicago, wasn't it?
But it was before Arizona.
It was Chicago, Washington, Arizona.
Okay, so the Arizona game was not his first game.
No.
Right, and Abram, you know, I think they could carve out a spot for him, but he is a really smart guy. That won't be too much of a problem, but, you know, I'm sure their game plan was in already, you know, and to force feed him, I don't think that'll be
Let's say, because I've slept since last year at Chicago, let's say that was the first game. To the point, it was only because of an injury that Rasul Douglas got on the field. If not for that injury, he probably doesn't play much at all defensively, but the injury forced their hand, and voila, he had a great season. So I don't know. You know, they don't have that situation. You know, Darnell Savage and Adrian Amos are both healthy, so barring an injury, I don't know how much he plays.
Yeah, I just think they could come up with a first down package where they play nickel and he's the inside linebacker.
Yeah.
You know, they take Isaiah McDuffie off the field and they put Abram there. I could see them doing that.
It makes – maybe I'm reading too much into it, but on Wednesday when I asked Matt LaFleur about his lineup with Stokes out and he got kind of all huffy and was like, what, you want me to tell you my personnel? And I'm wondering now if he already knew that they were going to bring in Abram.
Oh, I'm sure he did. Oh, they had already made the claim.
Yeah. Makes it make a little more sense now.
Yeah, but – I mean, honestly, I'll be shocked if this guy plays more than a few snaps. You know,
on defense,
he's going to play on special teams, but I don't.
No,
I'd be surprised.
Where do you think they use him on special teams?
I don't know. I'm going to ask Bisaccia about that today. He played.
It's a great question.
He played about 30% of the snaps of special team snaps for the Raiders. So that means he's on probably like kick coverage and maybe punt coverage.
Okay. Again, before we fully...
He won't be returning punts.
No.
I honestly didn't even think about that, but that could be interesting. Do you think we see, now that Kylan Hill has touched the ball once, do you think that we see them start to maybe like play with him on punt return?
I doubt it, because since Washington, Amari Rodgers has not been a problem.
Yeah, it's actually been okay.
And so unless he becomes a... we've seen how much of a problem Amari Rodgers can be and him still have patience.
Yeah.
So unless he becomes like a really, really big problem, Kylan Hill's never done it before, so I don't see that happening.
Yeah, and Nixon's doing a pretty good job on kickoffs.
Right.
So I don't think they want to really expose Kylin Hill until he's back for a significant amount of time.
Yeah, you're fresh off a year-long ACL absence. Here, go return a kick.
Yeah. Because isn't
maybe
that,
not the best move.
Isn't that where he tore it too? Was on a return?
Oh yeah.
It was nasty, and he shouldn't have returned it. It was five yards deep in the end zone.
You know, you have non-contact ACL injuries.
Right.
Robert Tonyan had one in that game.
I think Gary's was too.
That was the opposite of a non-contact ACL injury. Yes. His knee got obliterated.
And the other guy got hurt really badly too.
Yeah,
so it was nasty.
About as bad of a collision you'll ever see.
As you said, they had another ACL tear this week with Rashawn Gary, who is arguably, you know, one of their top two players on this team. Top player on defense, probably, for sure. He had 6 sacks thus far this season. This is a contract season for him, right? I mean, he's looking for a new deal?
No, he's got the
fifth-year option.
Fifth-year option thing coming up.
Okay.
So, no. I mean, he could have possibly. They could have extended him.
They might have. They needed probably to extend it, and now that throws that timeline
out
of whack. What does this defense look like without Rashawn Gary?
I thought when he's really playing disciplined, I think he's pretty good in the run game, and I thought that showed up in Detroit. I thought he was really playing the run really well. You can't replace his pass rush ability, although Enik Bari has been kind of a surprise. You know, he's going to get a lot of one-on-ones because all the attention will be on Preston Smith and Kenny Clark. And I'm kind of interested to see what he does, but he's not Rashawn Gary. That hurts. That hurts a lot.
Yeah, they look really thin at outside linebacker is what they look like. And that's not a position defensively, regardless of scheme, that you ever want to look really thin at.
I would, if I were them, I would try Quay Walker outside some. Give him, you know, kind of like the Micah Parsons type of thing where, you know, he's inside, but then maybe on third down you can, you know, walk him up to outside or something like that where you can actually get him. Because I think he's got the potential to be a pretty good pass rusher. He had a couple pressures against Detroit coming up the middle. It's just that they really can't do it much with Devondre Campbell out. That, you know, he's got to be in the middle.
Actually, that's a really wise, brilliant idea. The question, I think it's a fair one, is whether or not Joe Barry has that in him.
Yeah.
To put Quay outside?
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. That would be really clever. That'd be really creative. Haven't seen a lot of creativity on the Packers defense this year.
No, although, you know what? As we're finishing up on defense, I have to admit, and I've been as hard on Barry as anyone, but the last two game plans have been pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought they played the way they needed to play against Buffalo, and they got aggressive when they had to. And against Detroit, they blitzed way more than I thought they would be, especially in the red zone. Mm-hmm. They came after Goff, which the worst thing you can do is just let that guy sit back there and throw. So at least he had, you know, the ability to do that. And so in two games, they gave up 27 to Buffalo and 15 to Detroit. And Detroit is a pretty darn good offense coming in.
20 points below what they had averaged at home through 4 games at home going into that game. That's a big difference.
This is kind of what happened last year. Barry was just getting slammed every week for not doing anything, and then he just got kind of forced into it, and then they played really well the second half of the
year. That's fair. You know, that's
I don't know what the story is with that.
You made a great point. What does this defense look like now? A lot more blitzing. You've got to actually schematically create pressure now. You can't just have Rashawn Gary on the edge go win your one-on-one.
That's a good point. Yeah.
You've got to actually – they got to blitz like crazy now. If that works, you put Quay outside a little bit and you get a little creative, maybe. I mean, I agree with you. They've been really good the last two weeks.
And they have the structure to do it now because now they're letting those corners play press coverage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, remember those games early on against Minnesota and Chicago? And they didn't play press coverage at all. Now you see at least one guy playing press almost every down.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they so they have enough guys who can play press that you could blitz on any given down.
That also does depend a lot on what the status is going to be of Devondre Campbell, who has not been at practice.
Right. He hasn't practiced up to now, I don't think. So it'll be Walker and McDuffie. But I am really interested to see if they do something with Abram on first down.
Okay. And then maybe fold Wilson into that as well. Eric Wilson.
I think if they can keep Eric Wilson off the field, it'll be a very good benefit for them. He's a good special teams player.
That's a very positive way to say that.
That's really what he's here for, is to play special teams.
He blocked the punt.
He just, you know.
Yeah, he sure did. Yeah.
He had to play versus Buffalo because they were, you know, down to the water boy playing linebacker just about.
McDuffie is a good run player. I mean, he's tough. Tough as nails in the middle. You don't want him in coverage a lot.
You think his range is okay? I just haven't seen him enough.
I think it is. I think he's, you know, I think when you have Walker in there, then you got range. And then McDuffie's the guy who can really take people on in the middle. I think he's really aggressive. I like that part of him.
Yeah.
Of course, as you both have said already, though, the issue with this team is not on defense. Nope. And that's not where the answers are going to be found. Or it's not where the questions are. It's not where the answers are going to be found. It's on offense. They are now without Romeo Doubs for a few weeks. Likely that Christian Watson will play again this week. He's been practicing all week. Aaron Jones has been practicing all week, which is huge after going down with that knee injury in Detroit. Alan Lazard has been limited again with the shoulder, but he seems to have just been playing through that the past couple of weeks. And it may be one of those weeks where Samari Toure is asked to step up again. Sammy Watkins has been limited this week with a hamstring injury, I believe is what it said on the injury report, or knee. Does that sound right? And then they've still got one more week of Randall Cobb being held out while on IR. I asked Randall Cobb about that in the locker room yesterday, because I said, just check my math. You've got one more week, right? And he said, yeah, this is my last week on IR. And I said, do you think they'll bring you back right away? And he goes, I don't know. I don't make that decision. I didn't want to go on it in the first place. And so he was at practice today, Thursday, out with the rehab group, which I think is the first time we've seen him this week, right? This week is the first time we've seen him with the rehab group?
No, I've seen him out there. I saw him out there last week.
Okay.
And before the game in Detroit,
yes,
he was
warming
running
up.
Routes for Jordan Love. Yeah. So he's probably getting pretty close. And so they'll activate him. I think he's up on Saturday. He can be activated. But I would guess they'll practice him next week and play against Tennessee.
Yeah. Next week, on the short week.
Oh, short week. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think he could do it. I mean, he's a veteran.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a big deal for him.
I imagine he might want to play this week, too. I wonder.
Just to get his sea legs under
point.
Him?
Even without practicing? Yeah, maybe. Yeah. He certainly could do that. Yeah.
Is Randall Cobb going to come in and save this offense? He does at least have the chemistry with Rodgers.
He was never going to. The whole purpose at the beginning, the origin of Randall Cobb 2.0 in Green Bay, was not to save the offense. It was to save the quarterback's relationship with the team. So I don't think his presence here has ever been about that.
I think, and I think his presence this year was to help the transition to the younger guys. Mm-hmm. And early on, he did, because he came up with some really big catches, like – when they needed somebody, you know, to get open, and Rodgers is going to throw it to him.
Yeah.
I think getting hurt them quite a bit. And it's not because you expect them to get 100 yards. It's because throw them in there when they need a third down.
Situational.
So they could use them, but the danger, too, is that that's all Rodgers throws to. You know, he looks for Cobb and Lazard, and he forgets about everybody else.
He said this week, you know, looking back at the game versus Detroit, that there was a play where he should have hit DeGuara, who was wide open, or hit AJ.
Yeah. Oh,
and,
my God.
And he was looking
open.
For –
that might
right.
have been a touchdown.
And he was looking for – was it Watkins or Lazard in that situation?
I don't know who he was looking for, but DeGuara was – right behind the linebacker, and oh man, was he open.
Had the step on him and everything. Yeah.
He missed Tanyan and Lazard deep.
What do you think of his explanation of that?
Which one?
Of that play that did you?
I didn't DeGuara hear his play? Explanation.
So he was asked about that play specifically. Where
the DeGuara play?
No, Tanyan and Lazard. Thank you. Yeah. Wide open on the same play down the middle of the field. What he said was that their spacing was off. The route depth was off, so the spacing was off, and it messed with his eyes.
Okay. But he's
an 18-year vet.
38-year-old quarterback who has the arm to throw from any slot, you know.
I,
if I caught that out of the corner of my eye, I could have thrown that. For a touchdown.
I'm sorry,
I can't give him that one.
I've been making this point for seems like all season. I don't absolve either party here. I think the quarterback has not played well. I think that the pieces around him aren't very good. It's both. But I get how the pieces around you not being crisp in their details, which is an Aaron Rodgers term this season, matters at quarterback. You need that. But it's a layup. Like there's nobody around, and I don't know how you just throw it anyway, because you can literally throw a punt to him and he catches it.
Yeah, and if it's incomplete, who cares? And you know, if you're willing to throw to Tanyan in double coverage down the middle,
right?
You know, why aren't you willing to just let it fly? And I guess that's the difference with him. And like, you know, I hate to bring up Favre, but people always compare is that. You know, Rodgers is very much on precise, you know, everything in place, everybody be at their depths. And Favre's kind of like a schoolyard guy at times, you know. When if it broke down, that was his, he was like, great. And Rodgers used to be more like that. I don't know if age takes that away from you, you know. You're just like, oh, if I don't see that, I don't like it, you know, so I'm not going to throw it. I don't know.
All of that to say, though, he's facing one of the best defenses in the league on Sunday. He's got to deal with Micah Parsons and Trayvon Diggs. And so, yeah. I mean, he threw three interceptions versus Detroit. How many do you think Trayvon Diggs is picking off on Sunday?
That's and Lawrence, too. He's a bad dude. They got to block him, too.
Yeah.
And Vander Esch is a really good linebacker.
Yes, that's who I want to bring up next.
I think they can run on the Cowboys. I think that's they got to figure out a way to do that. I think this is one of those games they got to run for 200 yards.
You've got to take Vander Esch out of the game though to do that, right?
They can run on anybody. They ran on Buffalo. I think they can run on Dallas.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I think they showed against Buffalo that they can run on anyone.
Yeah,
because that's the number one rush defense in the league, and they put up 200 yards.
And conversely, they got to stop the run. I mean, CeeDee Lamb is a really good receiver, but they're not really deep at wide receiver. In fact, they're kind of hurting at wide receiver. And but between Pollard and Elliott and that big, you know, physical offensive line, they can pound it on you.
And
the
Dak.
Packers have not been playing good against the run. Kenny Clark's got to pick up his game. He's had a couple of bad games, I think.
Do you think between Clark and Jaron Reed and maybe putting Slayton in there on situational that they can slow down Zeke and Pollard?
I think they're going to have to play eight men in the box. I really do. I think they're going to have to figure out, they're going to have to bring a safety down, and they're going to have to hope that Alexander, I would match, you know, as much as you can, Alexander on CeeDee Lamb, and hope for the best. Because I don't think those other guys are going to kill you. Mm-hmm. I mean, they'll... It's potential for, you know, Dalton Schultz could go off a little bit, and Gallup has some ability.
Right.
But you just can't let Elliott and Pollard, you know, keep your offense off on the field. Or, I'm sorry, on the sideline the whole time.
Let's go back to the other side of it, though. Micah Parsons could – you could always make a case that he could play all 11 positions on defense. He's that good. What's the best way to take someone like that out of the game?
Chip blocks, a lot of double teams, run plays where he ain't.
Yeah.
maybe slash the bus's tires of the bus that he's on.
Yeah. Solid plan.
I mean, there's some players in this league you go in just knowing they're going to get theirs.
Yeah.
So Micah Parsons won't get his. But what you don't want is for him to is to feed into him owning the game. I mean, there's getting yours, and then there's owning the game. Yeah. And that's where the – you know, and I'm like, chip him. Mm-hmm. Double him. Not advising this, but you got to triple him. Don't run plays in opposite directions. You can't just feed into Micah Parsons. You have to avoid it.
I think we're going to see Parsons lining up next to Lawrence on the right side of the Packers' offensive line a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, Bakhtiari and Jenkins are probably – they both practiced today, mm-hmm. and it looks like they'll play. And I would feel good about either one of them against Parsons. I mean, it's you don't want them blocking him one-on-one, but that's your best against best. But if they're just overloading the right side, they better be ready to slide protection over there and keep a back or a tight end.
I was about to say, we might see three tight ends out there at times.
It might be like, remember the San Francisco game last year where Tanyan sat next to Yosh Nijman? I think Nijman was making his first or second start, and Tanyan was just like a babysitter next to Josh Nijman, and they just kept him there and chipped every single time
because
they didn't want Armstead and Bosa just killing him.
Micah Parsons said this week that he hopes to get a jersey swap with Aaron Rodgers. He said, "I just hope he doesn't chip me the whole time." Like, so,
sorry, dude.
Yeah.
And Rodgers said, very likely for the first, the jersey swap. Uh-huh. Very unlikely for the second.
Yeah, but right. Somebody's going to be chipping him pretty much the whole game.
Yeah.
All of that, though, is surrounding the X's and O's, the game plan. That's not been the storyline this week. That's not the biggest storyline this week. It's the return of Mike McCarthy to Lambeau Field. This will be the first time he's come back to coach here since being fired. He still owns a home in Green Bay, though, apparently.
Yeah, he's residential
up there.
Yeah. Spoon, let me start with you. He said on Monday that he hopes that it's a positive reception. Do you think that will be the case?
I do. I think he'll get a nice applause. I think people appreciate what he did. I think they were typical fans at the end, just like they're typical fans now and want to fire LaFleur and Gutekunst. And they wanted to fire him. But, I mean, that guy wins a Super Bowl for you. He takes you to playoffs every single year. He's the second winningest coach in Packers history. I don't see why they would boo him.
I think Matt LaFleur is a very, very good coach. I really do. And I think this idea of, like, he ain't on no hot seat. They just extended him. He's had a lot of success. He's a very good coach. I preface it to say, I think Matt LaFleur's failure in the first three seasons, his inability to seize the moment in the postseason, should give you some more appreciation for Mike McCarthy. It is dang hard to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
you win a Super Bowl, that's forever. That's permanent. No matter what happens before or after that, you win a Super Bowl, you win a Super Bowl. So Mike McCarthy said this week the accident didn't sit well with him. He said it left a dent in his family. I asked Aaron Rodgers what he thought of the exit this week, and he said that there was it was jarring. I mean, it was on his birthday, and the way it happened, when it happened, was unexpected, and it was very unceremonial the way that the tenure ended. But that doesn't that's not what. That's washed away by the guy won a Super Bowl. I think he's absolutely going to get cheered at Lambeau Field, and he should be. He's a Super Bowl winning coach. There's literally a street named for him a short run away from here.
I'll bet you dollars to donuts he will keep his foot on the gas if they.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, 1,000%.
Yeah. You know, I just can't see him saying, "All right, you know, I love the fans here, you know, or whatever." I can't see him doing that.
Well, sorry, Mike at Parsons, but the swap at the end of the game is going to be Aaron Rodgers' jersey for Mike McCarthy's pullover. That's what you want to see. That, or at least they'd have you believe that.
No, Rodgers did talk a lot about McCarthy this week. Spoon, do you put any stock in that?
I really kind of, well, I kind of threw up over it all because, I mean, I love the rewritten history of,
revisionist.
I appreciate Mike so much mm-hmm. for what he did for me. Yeah, I made fun of him all the time and I demeaned his offense and I felt like I'm 10 times smarter than him. And, you know, I continually reminded him that he screwed up by picking Alex Smith over me. And, you know, I played like crap his last year, but, you know, we were really tight. You know, I wish he would be like, you know, at the end, I probably didn't get along with him the way I should. And, you know, we probably didn't end our relationship the way I would have liked it. And I'm part of that. Mm-hmm. But as I wrote my column this week, that's not Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't apologize for anything. And
he did say something close to that. It wasn't that. He did say something close to that. Because what I asked him, because there's no wiggle room for reality. And the reality is that Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy had highs and lows. And it's not because Aaron Rodgers or Mike McCarthy are bad guys. It's because when you have 13 years with someone,
exactly,
you're going to have highs and lows no matter who you are. That's just the human condition. Yeah. It's not like Aaron Rodgers is a jerk. He had No, that's Aaron Rodgers is normal. He's a human. He had highs and lows with his head coach. That's just what happens over 13 years. But he had highs and lows. And what I asked him was, do you appreciate now or have more appreciation now than you might have back then at the end? And I don't know how Aaron Rodgers feels, and trying to speculate on that is a fruitless effort. But what he said was that there is more appreciation in hindsight as time goes by for the program, for the coach, than you have when you're so close to the person and you can't really see the forest through the trees. I think that that seems plausible to me. I mean, I think hindsight, look, Aaron Rodgers is a smart guy. He knows that Mike McCarthy is going to be front row at his Hall of Fame enshrinement in Canton. He knows that his legacy is going to be tied with Mike McCarthy. As Aaron Rodgers said, it's the longest head coach of his tenure, or of his career, the longest play caller of his career. And I do think Aaron Rodgers acknowledges that in summer of 2008, Mike McCarthy had his back. I think there is some of that. Was it stale and maybe a little not, you know, conflicting and tension at the end? Yeah, obviously. We were all there. But no matter who you are with anyone, when you have space and a gap and time goes by, I do think it's possible to look back at someone that you felt one way about, and with that time, you might have a little more appreciation than you once did.
This has turned into like an interpersonal communication therapy session.
I am Dr. Phil, and I approve this message.
The snarky part of me is like, Rodgers is saying, you know what? Compared to LaFleur, it wasn't so bad with McCarthy.
Right?
Now that I look at it, this guy is ruining my career, you know? It's like all of a sudden McCarthy's the hero and LaFleur's the goat.
The grass ain't always greener.
That's the snarky part of me. So.
We can edit that out if we need to. I'm just kidding. Okay, guys, I know we're getting ready to head to the locker room here in just a minute. So you don't have to give me your scores, but your prediction for this weekend. Spoon?
I like the Cowboys. I think they're a better team. I just don't see the formula for the Packers. You know, one of these games they're going to break out and they're going to have a good game. But,
sure about that?
Yeah.
Sure about that? That's a big statement.
But I'll tell you, you know, they face this is a physical team, and they face a really physical team in Tennessee the next mm-hmm. week. And if they don't show something, I mean, this could get really ugly. Really ugly fast, and so they gotta show something, but I don't think they're gonna win.
My prediction is that at the end, Mike McCarthy will be doing literal backflips on the way to the visitors' tunnel across Lambeau.
That would be something.
Yeah, he's gonna like double tuck somersault 9.1 degree of difficulty. He's gonna land it. we've said this week, it's shocking how quickly things turn in the NFL. Last 2 years, this would have been Aaron Rodgers' joyride and his vindicate. Like, hey, see, it was me. And now it's going to be Mike McCarthy's chance to stomp on the team that discarded him. He said the exit still doesn't sit well. He's going to get some vindication on that.
Yeah, the exit on Sunday might feel really good.
Might feel a lot better.
No.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Call me crazy, but I think between this and Tennessee, they split them.
And
I'm not saying which I would think would be which, but I think they split them between these next two.
Yeah, I don't disagree that there could be a game where they just put it all together.
Yeah.
I just don't believe they can.
Right. All of that to say, I don't think it'll be against the Cowboys.
No.
The Cowboys are too strong. They're too physical. They have too many playmakers in big spots. And this team has proven that they can't find a groove, especially at least on offense.
I can tell you right now, I will not be picking the Packers to win any of their next three games. I could totally be wrong. I mean, my record
on paper,
picking
they
is terrible
should lose,
this year. But.
On paper, they should lose their next three.
Well, we'll see who's starting for Tennessee at quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, if
that's a great point.
Derrick Henry versus the Packers.
Malik Willis
defense,
took the Chiefs to overtime, though, too.
I'm not sure that he did.
Well, Derrick Henry did.
Yeah, and their defense is badass. Yeah. They come to play.
Yeah.
They're like Mike Vrabel. They're jerks. You know, they're like really bad. So.
That sounded personal, Spoon.
You want to be a jerk in football.
I'm taking a shot at him for telling this reporter, don't interrupt me. Did you hear that clip?
No, but I had Mike Vrabel snap at me in a press conference last year.
Yeah. He's just a little intense.
What was what was this exchange? I didn't see it.
He was asking him about Malik Willis, and Vrabel paused, and the guy started to ask another question. He's like, don't interrupt me.
Interesting.
I can believe that. I don't even remember what my question was. It was after the Titans versus the Jags, and I always went, the guy I worked with went to Jags, and I went to the visitors. Mm-hmm. And so I went to Titans. I honestly don't even remember what I asked. Oh, I remember what I asked now, because that was when Urban Meyer was still with the Jags. And Mike Vrabel got his start in coaching with Urban Meyer. Mm-hmm. And so I said something about that, and I did not know that Mike Vrabel and Urban Meyer would, you know, rather like charge hell with a water pistol than help the other out. And
that's a good one.
Yeah.
People from the South always have those great.
Really is.
Charge hell with a water pistol.
Yeah,
you can feel free to use that one. I did not know that going in because it's not, you know, public. And I asked Mike Vrabel just a toss up about coaching against Urban Meyer in the NFL, and he did not like that question, and he let me know it. So anyways, that's next week. We'll get into Mike Vrabel next week in the Titans.
We'll send you to the Tennessee locker room.
That could be interesting. In the meantime, yes, like I said, I think they split these next two for some weird reason. I just have that in my head, but I don't think it's going to be against the Cowboys. Too strong, too physical, too good in a lot of places, and Dak seems to have not missed a beat. Our predictions with scores, though, will be in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and Green Bay Press Gazette this weekend, so make sure to check those out. Spoon will have his live blog before and during the game, and then Pete and I will have Facebook Live for you afterwards, and all three of us will be back with you after the game on Sunday for the post-Green 19 podcast wrap-up. Thanks so much, as always. This has been the Green 19 podcast from JS Online and PackersNews.com.